When they neared Jerusalem, having arrived at Bethpage on Mount Olives, Jesus sent two disciples with these instructions. Go over to the village across from you. You'll find a donkey tethered there, her colt with her. Untie her and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, say, the master needs them. He will send them with you. This is the full story of what was sketched earlier by the prophet. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king's on his way, poised and ready, mounted, on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a pack animal. The disciples went and did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They led the donkey and colt out, laid some of their clothes on them, and Jesus mounted. Nearly all the people in the crowd threw their garments down on the road, giving him a royal welcome. Others cut branches from the trees and threw them down as well as a welcoming mat. Crowds went ahead and crowds followed, all of them calling out, Hosanna to David's son. Blessed is he who comes in God's name, Hosanna in highest heaven. As he made his entrance into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, unnerved. People were asking, what's going on here? Who is this? The parade crowd answered, this is the prophet Jesus, the one from Nazareth in Galilee.
Let us continue in our worship by singing hymn number 130. We're going to only sing the first and the third. 130. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you for bringing us here on another beautiful Sunday. And remind us, Lord, and be with us this week during this holiest week of the whole year for us. And remind us again of what Christ did for us on that Easter Sunday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
always so good to see you sitting down here. It's a special Sunday. This Sunday and next Sunday especially, we have Palm Sunday this Sunday and Easter Sunday next Sunday. Two wonderful times for us to come together as a church and celebrate. So we'll talk about that just in a minute. I wanted to have you think about something entirely different just for a second. I want you to think about your favorite movie you've ever seen. Maybe it has a favorite character in there or even a superhero in there. I want you to tell me your favorite character or even superhero in a movie. Who would it be? Yoda. Yoda in Star Wars. I like that. I like that. Think about your favorite movie character or superhero. Can somebody else tell me one? What do you have? Are you thinking of a character? Lost it. Well, have you ever seen Gumball? I don't know that one, but okay, I like that. All right. I have to learn some new ones. I'm still learning that, right? Well, have any of you ever seen Superman before? You've seen Superman? Sometimes he has a big cape, right? He has a long cape, right? Well, that's kind of like a cloak. And that's why I wanted to talk about that. I wanted you to think about that long cape. It's kind of like a cloak. And that's what you heard me talk about in the Bible passage I just read. A cloak is a really big, big garment that people would wear. And see, people were throwing them down in the street as Jesus was riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. And they were also throwing palm branches. That's why we call this Sunday Palm Sunday. And they were doing that because they were treating Jesus like a king. Jesus is a king, right? Jesus is our king. And they were treating Jesus like the king he is. They got it right that day, right? And so they were really excited to see him come in. They were throwing their coats on the ground there. They were throwing palm branches on the ground there. They were showing Jesus they loved him. They appreciated him. They wanted him to get all the attention, right? Well, I want us to remember today and this week that Jesus wants to be king of our life. And what that means is Jesus to be boss of our life. He's in control. He teaches us how to live and love other people and love God, right? Because next week we're going to learn how people did not treat Jesus so well at the end of the week. But we get to celebrate next Easter. That's an exciting time. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. For now, this week, remember how Jesus was treated as a king because Jesus is our king. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for this time to celebrate your son, Jesus Christ. Teach us this week to think about that over and over again, how this is so special to know how much he loves us. We pray in your name. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
Hebrews 13 teaches us that Jesus suffered to make people holy through his own blood. Hymn number 132, let's sing There Is Power in the Blood, verses 1 and 4. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you. We are delighted that you are here with us as we worship our Lord in spirit and truth on this victorious Sunday, Palm Sunday, the Sunday our Lord entered into Jerusalem to pave the way for our eternity. Our worship is a little bit different this morning. I know you're following the bulletin. You will need to continue to do that as we go through this service today. Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns under our sermon outline. And as we pray today, we have many that we want to be lifting up in a very special way. It's good to have Regina back with us at the organ, and we are grateful that she is feeling better. We want to remember Gail Bridges, who is waiting for an appointment to go and find out more information about some tests she has had. We want to remember Bill Cotton, who is still at Duke Hospital, and I ask that you keep him lifted up. We're not really sure of what all is going to be happening. Maybe a rehab when he leaves the hospital. We want to continue to lift him up. Then our community was rocked this week by the death of Kenny Ellis. We want to remember his family in our prayers in a very special way. Leonard Harris had surgery called the Mohs procedure this past week and has a couple of more for skin cancer that they were able to remove, but having to do some reconstruction and some surgeries in the future. We need to continue to remember Leonard. And Joe Luck will be going to a cardiologist. They have discovered that he is having some heart issues, and we want to keep him lifted up. Boy, that list is long, and you see there are many other names that are there that we need to continue to remember. You also see a sea of blue here. Our youth had Disciple Now this week, rooted in our Lord and rooted in the faith, and that has been their emphasis. And I want us to pray for them that God will take what has happened this weekend and continue to mold them and make them after His will. Y'all look good. Y'all look good. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we begin, as Mark said, the Holy Week, the week of the Passion, the week of you going and teaching in the temple, and then on this Thursday, instituting the Lord's Supper and telling the disciples that this would be your body given for us and your blood shed for us. And then to be betrayed. And then to be condemned. And then to be crucified. The emotions of this week, the roller coaster ride that is this week, is amazing. We have celebrated your triumphant entry already in our reading. And in our message today, we'll look at the cross and the decisions you made from the cross. And we'll look at how that decision and those three decisions that three different men made shape history and can teach us about our decision making. Heavenly Father, we have lifted the names of these that are on this list and on our heart to you. And Lord, I know there are others even in this congregation this week that will be going for testing and having other issues. And God, I pray you might bless them all as decisions need to be made, big decisions, life decisions, family decisions, health decisions. And God, as our choir continues to lead us in music, and as we sing praises unto your name, may we be mindful that your wounds did pay our ransom. May we be mindful that your love has changed our world, and not only our world, O God, our God, but your love has transformed our eternity. Comfort us with this truth encourage us as we move forward in our worship, that it may be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Between me and you, huh? What's the difference? Because I don't see it. We're both strung up here till we die, criminals on a cross. What did you do wrong, preacher man? I know who you say you are. You think you're God. You told people you were God himself. If you're God, why don't you just get down from that cross and take me with you while you're at it? Save yourself. Save me. Save me. Because my body is breaking. But you know that, don't you? Because yours is too. You know how this feels. If you were God, you wouldn't be here. I'm just a thief on a cross. God wouldn't be here.
What's the difference between you and me? We're both strung up here till we die. I'm just a thief on a cross, but what did you do wrong? Nothing. I know you are who you say you are. You're God. And you chose to be here with me. You're bleeding out, just like I am. Jesus, when he takes you, when you leave this place, take me with you. Save me. My body is breaking. But you know that. You feel this too. You're God, and you chose here to be with me.
Save me from this death.
Save me from this life.
Thanks for nothing.
Thank you, Lord.
It does, doesn't it? It demands our all. Thank you, choir. They will respond, you'll notice, at the end of our message before our hymn of decision, with how deep the Father's love for us. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. One of those important stories that is only found here. Matthew doesn't give us an account, neither does Mark, neither does John. But Luke gives us dialogue from the cross between the three that have been sentenced on this high coming Sabbath to die. To die before that Sabbath arrives. Many of us have seen the movie that Mel Gibson produced entitled The Passion. It's a very difficult thing to view. And sometimes Hollywood takes great liberty with over-dramatizing something, especially that gory. My guess is Mel was not guilty in the story of the Passion. It was intended to be painful. It was intended to be horrid. They wanted people to come and see because they wanted it to be a deterrent. They wanted to demonstrate how much power they had, and if the truth be known, they had a taste for inflicting suffering on others. And so here, in what was a sickening moment of pain and humiliation, we find a conversation between two men rightly sentenced for their crimes. And those two men, in Luke's understanding, remind us of our choices, of our decisions. For we'll make them this afternoon and all this week. Decisions. Decisions about God. For Him. Or against Him. To rail against Him. Or to call Him our Redeemer. Never has the curtain been pulled back and it been so clear as three men hanging on a cross. Our focus is on the sinner man, our Savior, who is there for you and for me, in your place and in my place. We who are guilty will be made innocent because of the first word we'll hear from Jesus in our text today. But then He reminds us of how He always responds when we call to Him. Luke chapter 23. We're going to read verses 32 through 43. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Him. And that Him is Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, Golgotha, Calvary, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on His right hand and one on His left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Wow. For they know not what they do. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers, they scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers, the second time, also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." And then our conversation begins in verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God?" Do you not fear God? Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward. We are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, "Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may we examine the decisions from the cross as we decide how we will make decisions from this moment forward. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're always interested in famous last words. Pacho, one of the great Mexican revolutionists, when he realized he was going to die, said, "Don't let it be like this. Tell them I said something." I don't know if you know the name of General John Sedgwick. He was a very prominent general during the Civil War for the Union Army. And it seems in one situation, in fact, it was his last situation, it was his last words. In fact, he didn't quite complete the last word. There were Confederate sharpshooters about 1,000 yards away, 900 meters. That's a long way. And they were taking shots at members of his staff where they were way behind the lines. And men were dodging bullets that were hitting all around them. And then Sedgwick's last words were, "Why are you dodging like this? They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance." Right under his left eye, a Confederate sharpshooter's bullet found its mark. And that was his last words. He never finished his sentence. Last words, we think of them poetically. We have the seven words of the cross. Jesus' last words before the resurrection. And here we find two of them. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this day, you'll be with me in paradise. What a decision Jesus made. But let's save him for last. Let's look at the first decision. Because the first decision that came from the cross seems to me to be the most idiotic decision ever made. I don't believe that you could find anything that could compare to the one who railed at the Lord. Here he was, hanging in his very last moments. It should have been obvious to everyone that he was moments away from his death. And how is he remembered? For joining the guards and the religious leaders in making fun of Jesus. In verse 39, it says, "Are you not the Christ?" And he wasn't asking to find out information. He was mocking Jesus. He was making fun of the one who could change everything. That decision that he made in that moment is still a decision to this very day. And his eternal destiny rests upon that choice. Wow. That's a wow. Can you imagine? Of all the days to be sentenced to die, he was sentenced to die beside the Savior of the world. Of all days to have your unlucky number come up, his luckiest number came up. Imagine for a moment that just a few feet within at least shouting distance of you is the Son of God who came to the world to seek the lost, to save those who needed salvation. And according to what we have recorded in Luke, and only in Luke, he blew it. He just blew it. Here he was, the gift of eternity, the gift of heaven, the gift of everlasting life. Another hour and his agony would be over, and eternal bliss would be his. And he blew it. Well, I may not be the ripest banana on the bunch, but I'm sure you don't want to die next to the Savior of the world and make fun of him. You don't let that opportunity go by. You don't let this critical moment in your life escape you. And then I asked myself, were there any critical moments in my life last week? Have I always been thinking of Christ right beside me? Well, there was that moment 2 weeks ago when that guy dropped that thing out of his truck and it burst my back tire on my Camry. Wasn't a critical moment, but it was one of those life moments. You ever blow it? I wonder if I have grown as much this week in my faith as I could have, and maybe even, yes, I should have. Maybe I've allowed the obstacles of life, and aren't there obstacles in life? Maybe I've allowed the difficulties in life, and there are certainly difficulties, aren't there? But surely I'm not as bad as this thief on the cross. I'm not as silly as he is to neglect so great a salvation. wonder why Luke wrote this down. Wonder why he told us about this guy. Defiant to the end. Joan Crawford's last words, filled with anger to her maid when she saw her starting to pray for her, was with a cursing, "Don't you dare ask God to help me." Karl Marx turned to his housekeeper and urged him to go and tell his last words. "Go on," he said, "and get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough." Defiant to the end. Could I ask us a question? Just between you and me? Were we defiant last week? The man had decided that he wanted to control his life, even to the end. He refused to come to Christ, no matter his circumstances. Here he was, hanging almost where he could touch the blood. Touch the blood that would wash away his sins. And he was defiant. He refused to come to Christ. "And yet I must guard myself, my very spirit, my very soul, lest I try to control everything myself." Do I control my own Christian faith? Do I decide and tell God how it's going to be? Do I tell Him I know those scriptures, but God, I've got it figured out? God, help us not to be like that first thief. Suddenly, in our mind's eye, let's shift our camera now from that first defiant thief who rails against Christ. And for just a second, let's bypass Christ in the middle. And focus that camera in on the second who decided to recognize. One decided to rail, the other decided to recognize. We must decide what we are going to recognize. One of my favorite hymns is, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy." Did you see His hand of mercy any last week? "I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near." The chorus says, "He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today." And here's where I need to have some reflection. Maybe you do too. Could we sing honestly that chorus that says, "He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart." Is that where He is? Have I centered Him there? You see, the second thief began to recognize. He recognized his situation. He recognized that this was it. This was his moment. He had been born for this. And he got it right. He got it right. And he gives me hope. I can get it right. I don't know if you've ever seen the show The Undercover Boss. You ever seen that show? It's where the CEO or some major player kind of disguises himself or herself and goes out into their large business and just works every day. Just walks among the everyday people. And they don't know who it is. And they don't realize they're having a conversation with the CEO of the company. I saw one guy get fired one time because he just didn't quite get it right. To
Do we really recognize God is right in our midst all the time? Have you ever pocket dialed anybody? Have you ever had somebody pocket dial you? I'll let this person remain nameless, but they called me and they didn't know the phone was on. Be careful if you pocket dial your pastor. Can I just give you that word of advice? Just be real careful with that. This person began to sing. And I was praying, you need to keep your day job, you know? Do I live sometimes like God's not listening? Like God's not watching? Like God doesn't care? You think God cares if His worship center's full? You think God cares if you worship Him or if you choose not to? You think God cares if you decide to pray or if you decide not to pray? You think God cares? I think He does. And He's God all the time. He's good all the time. But we say He is omnipresent. And that's one of the big omni words, you know. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That means He's omnipotent, He's all power, powerful. He's omniscient, He's all knowing. And He's omnipresent. You know what that means? You do, right? He's always present. He's here. He rides to school with you. He sits in class and He sits in the lunchroom and He sits outside. He goes home with us. He sees moms and dads when we're being moms and dads and husbands and wives and sons and daughters. He sees us when we're at work. He sees us. This thief recognized that Jesus was there. He realized who He was. The undercover situation of the boss suddenly had been revealed, and he knew he was talking to the CEO of the world. And he got it right. He got it right. He got it right. And he got a promotion. Oh, did he get a promotion? This day, you'll be with me in paradise. God's listening and God knows. Does that make you nervous? Does that make you nervous? To know that every thought. When I ran over that piece and it burst my back tire, God was sitting right beside me. Does that make you nervous? Dwight L. Moody said, some people have just enough religion to make them miserable. They can't be happy at a wild party and they're uncomfortable at a prayer meeting. That describe you? Your faith takes you some places you can't go too far that way. But you're not too comfortable going too far that way. When we realize God is always listening, always watching, when we recognize God like the thief did on the cross, and we're okay with that, and we're okay with that, we're okay with that reality that we know God's listening. We know God's watching. And we're okay with that. And we're on our way to becoming what God wants us to be. The thief in his despair, like the prodigal son in the pig pen, like the demon-possessed man in the tomb, like the woman caught in adultery and about to be stoned, like the leper before she was cleansed, like Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree, like Peter when the rooster began to crow. I've had those moments. You had those moments. And we're to recognize God like the thief did. Because that brings me to the final, to the third decision. There was a decision to rail against Him by the first thief. There was a second decision to recognize who He was. But the third decision, the one from the cross, the one that brings us here today, was the decision to redeem. To the first criminal, Luke records no word from our Lord, not one word. Jesus never said a word to him. I want you to think about that for just a second. There you are, breathing your very last breath on this earth. And the Savior of the world, the Savior of the world, the Savior of eternity, the Savior of all that will ever be saved, is 6 feet away. And you don't invite Him. And He doesn't say a word to you. That's powerful. His silence is death. But to the second, there is the formula of salvation. In verse 41, he admits he's a sinner. He says, we were justly condemned. And then in verse 42, he confesses that Jesus is Lord when he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In verse 41, he believes that Jesus is who he said he is. He says, this man has done nothing wrong. He admitted his sin. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and he confessed him. And the Bible says that Jesus, in verse 43 of our text, redeemed him. Redeemed him. Here was a man who had lived a life outside God's will, except for the last half hour. Jesus said to him those words that I long to hear. This day, you'll be with me in paradise. In paradise forever. The third decision was to redeem. Today, I wonder about my choices. How about yours? Have we decided that He lives within our heart? Or is He regulated to our glove compartment? Or our cabinet, or our Bible that sits on the table? Does He live? Does He help us in every choice, in every decision made? Yeah, preacher, but some of them are hard. Brothers and sisters, we've never faced a decision like these men faced as we heard three from the cross. And if we decide to recognize Christ, He is faithful and just to redeem. If you're here today and you don't know you're a sinner, then I want to tell you that Jesus died on that cross not only for that thief that recognized Him, but for you, just as He did for me. And if you're willing to admit that you are a sinner, if you're willing to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Lord, the boss of your life, and give your heart over and claim Him, He'll forgive you. And He will whisper in your heart's ear, forever, you'll be with me in paradise. That is the good news of the decision Jesus made from the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, your wounds have made a difference. As our choir sings, may you tie this all together, and may we make the decisions we need to make for you in Christ's name. One day the Lord will return. One day the opportunity of forever is ours. And I don't understand, as the choir just so beautifully sang, why or how, but His wounds, this holy week, have made everything different. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart, and you need to make some decision for Him, some decision about how you'll make decisions as we wrap this series up. And today, may the decision from the cross of the thief to recognize Christ in our midst remind us of our Redeemer as we stand together and sing. Our choir will be blessing us again with more music next Sunday. I appreciate their extra work and that powerful message, many messages. I want to thank Steve and Andrew and Matt for sharing that depiction of the cross and the decisions that were made there. Just a couple of reminders. This Thursday, we'll be having a Monday Thursday service. It's a short service, but a very meaningful service. I hope you'll make it a part of your Easter tradition. We'll have a hand washing, and we'll take communion by intinction or a walking communion as we come to a common cup. It's a powerful family experience, and we'd invite you to come be a part of that. And then this Saturday will be our Friends and Family Day beginning at 10 o'clock. Hope that you'll plan to invite some folks. I think there's still a few invitations on the sides over here if you'd like to get them. And we plan to have a good time sharing together this Saturday as well. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people, the people of the decision of the cross, in the midst of His people who need to make their decision for the cross. Would you pray? God, go with us from this place. Help us to recognize You with us. For some of us, this is going to be a difficult week. For some of us, this is going to be an easy week. For some of us, we don't know what this week will be. But Lord, may each of us make the decision right now to recognize You in all we do, in all we say, and in all we are. In Christ's name.